Well, if you have your Bible today, turn with me over to the book of 3 John. 3 John. No chapter to give you because it's just 14 verses, okay? So 3 John verses 1 through 14 is where we're going to be camped out at today. So I'm going to show you a picture of a man here. So here he is. Any idea who this guy is? It does kind of look like John. Yeah, he does look like Jean-Claude Van Damme, but it's not him. His name is Donnie Dunnigan, and he looks like a pretty tough guy. And he is a tough guy because at the age of 18, he enlisted in the Marine Corps. He became the Marines' youngest ever drill instructor. He served three tours in Vietnam, where he was wounded several times before finally retiring in 1977 with the rank of major. And for his service, he received a Bronze Star, he received three Purple Hearts, and he earned his reputation as a tough-nosed, highly decorated Marine. And his reputation among his peers was very important because it came with love and admiration and respect. And I think that's something that we probably all want in our lives, those types of things. But Donnie had a secret and something he didn't want anyone, not even his wife, to know because he thought it might ruin his reputation. You see, as a young boy, Donnie was a child actor. And he was handpicked by Walt Disney to be the voice of the lead character of one of his classic movies. Any guesses of what that movie is? All right, next picture. He was the voice of Bambi. That's right, Commander Dunnigan is Bambi, the sweet, frail, innocent, unsure of himself little fawn, not exactly the image of a commander in the Marines wants to portray. So he kept it a secret throughout his career. And he only admitted it after he was outed by one of his superior officers. And once it was out, Donnie made an amazing discovery. People still respected him. He wasn't laughed at and ridiculed as much as he thought he would be. And actually, they loved him even more and realized his reputation, he realized that his reputation came more from his character as a human being than from being a decorated Marine. And so this book that we're going to read today, 3 John, is a short book, but it speaks volumes about the value of a good reputation, which I think is something that we all want. God's idea of a good reputation may not be what you think. So let's take a look. Let's read it together. And as we read the scripture this morning, let's consider how others would describe you in the way that John puts here in this letter. So 3 John verses 1 through 14. I'm going to see if I can make sure I read all these names correctly, okay? The elder, to my dear friend Gaius, I love you in the truth. Dear friend, I pray that you may prosper in every way and be in good health physically just as you are spiritually. For I was very glad when some brothers came and testified of your faithfulness to the truth, how you are walking in the truth. I have no greater joy than this, to hear that my children are walking in truth. Dear friend, you are showing faithfulness by whatever you do for the brothers, especially when they are strangers. They have testified of your love in front of the church. You will do well to send them on their journey in a manner worthy of God, since they set out for the sake of the name, accepting nothing from pagans. Therefore, we ought to support such men so that we can be co-workers with the truth. I wrote something to the church, but Diotrephes, who loves to have first place among them, does not receive us. This is why, if I come, I will remind him of the works he is doing, slandering us with malicious words. And he is not satisfied with that. He not only refuses to welcome the brothers himself, but he even stops those who want to do so and expels them from the church. Dear friend, do not imitate what is evil, but what is good. The one who does good is of God, The one who does evil has not seen God. Demetrius has a good testimony from everyone and from the truth itself. And we also testify for him, and you know that our testimony is true. I have many things to write you, but I don't want to write you with pen and ink. I hope to see you soon, and we will talk face to face. Peace be with you. The friends send you greetings. Greet the friends by name. And may God add his blessing to the reading of his word. So this book, 3 John, John mentions some people, three people that we're going to look at today. Three people who had a reputation, some that we want to follow and one that we don't want to follow. So let's take a look at them. We're talking about having a good reputation. Number one, the first person that John mentions is Gaius. And Gaius is an example of kindness and hospitality. He's an example of kindness and hospitality. As you see how John addressed Gaius, there's no doubt that John loved him very much, loved him dearly. He was spiritually very healthy. He was a man who was committed to the truth, John said. Others testified to the fact that he was living and walking in the truth. That's capital T, the truth of God, the truth of God's word. And John was very happy to hear that Gaius was not only in the truth, but he was remaining to be in the truth. He was continuing in the truth. And there are some qualities that truly separated him from other people. It was, John mentions his showing of kindness and hospitality to other people. So not only was he a man of truth, of God's truth, God's word, he was a man that had kindness and hospitality toward other people. And John commended Gaius for his unselfish willingness to welcome people, strangers, into his home. You see, Gaius assisted those who were preachers and teachers and missionaries. And we don't know if Gaius himself was a teacher. We don't know if he was any kind of a preacher or teacher or anything like that. But he opened his home and his heart to those who were involved in ministry. He encouraged them. He opened his home and loved them. And that word hospitality there, that conveys the idea. You really want to know the root meaning of the word? You want to know what it really means to be hospitable toward other people? It literally means, it has the idea of getting under something to lift it up. That's what the word hospitable means. And that's a good picture of what it means to be hospitable to other people. It means lifting people up in their time of need. Lifting them up to help them when they're going through difficult times or when they need a helping hand. Now, let me just say something here, because a lot of times we think of being hospitable toward other people. We have to invite them into our house and have this big gourmet meal served on the best china that we have. And that's not what hospitality is. It could mean, yes, serving a meal to someone, but it doesn't mean you have to have a fancy house, that everything has to be put in its place in your house, that you don't have to have the best of everything. It means lifting people up in their time of need. It means helping people when they're going through difficult times. It means supporting others when they need help. And that's what hospitality is. You know, during his public ministry, you remember that Jesus depended entirely upon the hospitality of others as he ministered from town to town, remember? And really, in that time, early Christians, they depended upon and received hospitality from others. In fact, travelers in ancient times, they depended heavily upon the hospitality of strangers, as traveling through certain areas could be dangerous. And there were very few inns or hotels, if you will. And people who were poor, especially Christians, could not afford to even stay at them if there were such things. And so the generous provision to strangers included opening up your home to others, even sometimes opening up your home for church services. And they depended upon that. You know, I'm reminded of what the writer of Hebrews says in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 2. He said, Don't neglect to show hospitality, for by doing this, some have welcomed angels as guests without knowing it. Maybe your version says, have entertained angels unaware. Genesis 18, 1 through 8, we read of Abraham's humble and generous display of hospitality to three strangers. Remember that story? Abraham could have called one of his many servants to tend to these three unannounced visitors. Yet Abraham, who was hospitable and righteous, he generously gave them the best of what he had. And as it turned out, who did he entertain? It was the Lord and two other angels, right? So Abraham showed his love, his hospitality to others in a time of need. And you know, when we show hospitality, it means that we lift them up. We show hospitality to people at our food pantry every Monday and Wednesday. We lift them up, help them in their difficult time. You know, right now, we have about, when we first started in the, when COVID started and everything, our numbers went way up. The amount of people we were helping really skyrocketed, because I think there was a panic among a lot of people. They didn't know whether or not they were going to be able to get food. They didn't know. There's a lot of uncertainty. Now that things have kind of, you know, leveled out, people realize, okay, there's going to be food and grocery stores are going to be open and all that. But we're still having about the same amount of people. It's not so much our regulars that are coming. We've had a lot of new people that have come into the pantry. And when they come for the very first time, you can see that look in their eyes. They're uncertain. They don't know what it's going to be about. They don't know what it's going to be like. And when they realize we're giving them all this food for free, you can see and almost sense the relief that is rushing over them, because we're lifting them up in their time of need. And helping, guys, here's the thing. Helping those who are less fortunate, time and time again in the Bible, is important to God. In fact, the Bible says we honor God when we are kind to those who are needy. Proverbs 14:31 says, the one who oppresses the poor person insults his maker, but the one who is kind to the needy honors him. What a great verse. And remember what Jesus said in Luke 14:13? He said, when you host a banquet, invite people who are poor and maimed and lame and blind. That's the people that I want that come to the party. In the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 25, verses 34 through 36, part of the sheep and the goats parable, Jesus discusses the hospitable behavior of those who will inherit the kingdom of God. Remember what he said? For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me. And so that's what God thinks about helping others, lifting them up in their time of need, being hospitable. That's what it means. And so as we think about the life of Gaius, who John commended here in this letter, the question comes to us, will I be an example of kindness and hospitality in the way that Gaius was? Will I help lift people up in their time of need? Do you want a good example to follow? The best example is Jesus. He's always the best example, right? But we also have a good example in Gaius. He was a great example of what it means to be kind and hospitable toward others. He was a humble man who served the body of Christ faithfully. So that's one example, Gaius. The second man that John mentions is Diotrephes. He says in verses 9 and 11, basically, he was an example of selfishness and pride. So that's not what we want. That's not what we want to go after. We want to be like Gaius and not Diotrephes. Diotrephes was quite the opposite of Gaius. John referred to him as the one who loves to have first place among them. He was prideful. He was arrogant. He wanted the limelight. And John had just written, or had written something to the church previously. We don't know exactly what it is, but he said Diotrephes ignored it. This encouraging thing that I wrote, he ignored what I said. He refused to acknowledge John's authority because he wanted to be the leader himself. He wanted the limelight. And he snubbed out those who worked to spread the gospel by not serving them in the same way that Gaius had served them. Diotrephes had a lust for power. He had a yearning for leadership. And John betrayed him as a malicious gossip, if you will. He had kicked people out of the church who didn't agree with him. It's the kind of man he was. And John had made a promise. When I see Diotrephes, I'm going to confront him about this. Now, we don't know whether or not John ever got the chance. The Bible doesn't say. But his actions serve as a warning to us. Here's the thing, guys. We have to understand something about being a leader and leadership. Leadership is not about honor and privilege. That's not what a leader is. It's about humility and service. Because time and time again, Jesus models for us, he was a leader, yes, but he models that servant leadership. When Paul wrote, talking about husbands and wives, he was encouraging husbands to be love their wives as Christ loved the church. What did Christ do for the church? He died for the church. That's what husbands are to do for their families, to die for their families, to love their wives as Christ loved the church, to be a leader, but not just a leader, to be a servant leader, to be a humble leader. And that's exactly what Diotrephes wasn't. He wanted the limelight, he wanted honor, he wanted privilege. And it's not about those things, it's about humility and service. And guys, we have to understand something, that anyone who craves a position of authority, who is only interested in a title or being in the limelight, really is unfit to lead God's people, is unfit to lead anyone. Diotrephes was prideful. He was selfish. And when we see others who are that way, they need to be called out. They need to be confronted. And because if they're not stopped, if no one speaks up, it can bring great harm to the church and to others. What do we learn through a lot of the preaching that I've said? And you probably, if you remember one thing that I've ever said as I preached, you remember this: God never blesses pride. You can read from the book of Genesis all the way back through the maps at the end of your Bible, and there's never an instance where God blesses pride. And we sometimes have to fight against that. God never blesses pride. He never blesses churches that are full of people who are prideful. Verse 11, John encouraged Gaius to imitate what is good, not what is evil. He said, Gaius, don't be like this knucklehead Diotrephes. You're doing the right thing. Keep up with it. Don't follow him. He needed to continue showing hospitality to others. And people like Diotrephes, you know what they do a lot of times? They're kind of like bullies. They put a lot of pressure on people. Like, they like to bully and coerce people. They like to step on people to get to the front. And that's not what Jesus said. He said, if you want to be great in the kingdom of heaven, you got to be a servant. He said, in heaven, the last are going to be first. So the losers are going to be the greatest in heaven, okay? So we can't follow the example of people like Diotrephes, because when we do, it shows that we really don't follow God. And that's not who Diotrephes was. He was not a follower of God. He wanted the limelight. He was an example of selfishness and pride. But then the third person that John mentions here is a man by the name of Demetrius. And in verse 12, John says Demetrius is an example of goodness. He's an example of goodness. In contrast to Diotrephes, who was arrogant and prideful, John gives an example of someone who was quite the opposite of that. John said Demetrius was well-spoken of everyone, that everyone who met Demetrius, they spoke well of him. They spoke highly of him. The goodness of his life was very evident when it was compared to the standard of the gospel and the truth. Because the standard of truth says we have to love other people, right? That's what John mentions so many times throughout his epistle, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. He constantly talks about loving people. You know, if you love God, then you're of God. If you don't love, you're not of God. It was a big theme. And even in his gospel, it was a big theme. And so John spoke about the truth of loving people. And the standard of truth says we ought to love other people. In contrast to Diotrephes, Demetrius had a high regard for the truth. That means he loved others. John even said the truth spoke about the goodness of Demetrius. That's how good of a person he was. We learned last week, as we looked at Colossians, the last part of that, we learned from Paul's letter to the Colossians that we're to use our speech in a way that is gracious, adding salt to it, okay? Letting it be an enhancer of the gospel, if you will. He was speaking in relation to sharing the gospel, sharing our testimony. And so the grace of God, we understand, has covered our sins, and the sacrifice that was made on the cross has paid the penalty of our sins. And we are blessed, we are forgiven as people, as Christians. And although we don't deserve the grace that we have been generously handed by God, Jesus continues to extend a helping hand of it regardless of our situation. And so in the same way, we as Christians, we are to be known to be people of grace, full of forgiveness for other people. We're to show the grace that's been given us in the way we love other people, the way we talk to other people. It may not always be deserved, but we have to always remember that neither was our forgiveness and love deserved. We didn't deserve that, but God in His grace gave it to us through His Son, Jesus Christ. Because we understand how we speak and respond to a lost and broken world is going to go very far in showing them the wonderful grace of God. And so if we have a good testimony, if we have a good reputation among others, guess what? That's going to give us more opportunities to share the gospel. So we have to be very careful to protect this gift that God has given us. John was telling Gaius that Demetrius, you want a man that's worth imitating? Imitate this guy, because he's doing it right. Because he was recognized by others as being the real deal. He wasn't a fake. He wasn't a fraud. He wasn't a phony. He wasn't a hypocrite. He wasn't an actor. He was the real thing. He was genuine. And he was recognized by others as being the real thing. He wasn't fake. His life and ministry were consistent. What you saw in public was the same person you saw in private. His life was an open book. Let me ask you a question this morning. If others were talking about you and me, what would they say? What would they say about you? What would they say about me? Ordinary people, people that we're around, people that we live around, people that we, when we go to the grocery store, people that, or maybe even in our own family, people that we work with, go to school with. If we were to go and ask these people, hey, what do you think about Kobe Boyd? What would they say? I hope they would say, you know, he's a pretty good guy. He seems to love people and he's humble and serves people. I try to be that way. I don't get it right all the time. And neither do any of us. But overall, what would they say about us? Are we an example of goodness? Are we an example of faithfulness? Do we have a good reputation among other people? That's what John was getting at, having a good reputation among others. You know, the Bible says, and this is probably a verse that you know very well, Proverbs 22:1, says a good name is to be chosen over great wealth. A good name is to be chosen over great wealth. And then it goes on to say, favor is better than silver or gold. More precious than silver or gold. Listen, guys, let me just say this. Having a good reputation doesn't require you to be perfect. None of us are perfect. I know we kid around about that, you know. I kid around, you know, except me, I'm practically perfect in every way. Listen, I'm not perfect. I'm far from it. You saw in that video that my kids made about me last week. I'm not perfect, okay? And I know it wasn't fun, you know, but listen. A good reputation doesn't require you to be perfect. But it does require you to live out godly qualities. That's what a good reputation is all about. So how does others speak of you? How we treat others and how we come across to others says a lot about us. I'm not saying that sometimes we won't be misrepresented or people will say false things about us. That's going to happen. And you can't go with everything that everybody says, because sometimes people are misinformed or they have an agenda against Christians and they purposely slander us. I get that. I understand that that happens. But we have to strive to go above that. How we come across to others says a lot about us. And guys, how we treat others, let me just say, shows a lot of where we are spiritually. If we treat others badly, there's something going on spiritually that's not right. If we treat others with love and dignity and respect, even people that we disagree with, that shows a lot of where we are spiritually. And so we have to strive for that. Because what our churches need today, and what America needs to see today, what our communities and our neighbors need to see today, is more people like Gaius and Demetrius, and none like Diotrephes. So let's be like those two men. If we want to have a good character, let's strive to be like them. That's what this letter is all about. I'm glad that we have this glimpse. You know, sometimes these little letters in the Bible, we kind of overlook them. You know, 3 John is probably not a book that gets preached out of a lot. But yet, it has some very important truths that we need to look at. Let's be like Gaius. Let's be like Demetrius. And let's not be like Diotrephes. And I'm glad that I was able to pronounce those names correctly. So thank you, Jesus. Well, guys, I want to just have a prayer time with us. Lord, we thank you today for this letter, this last part of this letter that John wrote. These 14 verses that are filled with examples of men who did it right and who didn't do it right. And Father, we want to be men and women, boys and girls of good reputation. Not so that we'll receive the glory and honor. No, that not that people will pat us on the back, so that people will see who you are and they'll have a correct view of you. Father, we understand that living in our world today, as people look at us, that's the only Jesus they're ever going to see. Starts with us. And I pray that we would be men and women, boys and girls of faithfulness and goodness and kindness and hospitality toward others. And Father, when we are selfish, when we are arrogant, Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit would speak into our hearts and that we would repent of that and go away and do the right thing. Father, let your Holy Spirit reveal to us when we're this way so we can make a correction, because none of us here today that are here or that are watching online, none of us want to be like that. So, Father, help us through your Holy Spirit. Empower us to do the right thing. Lord, we just ask you to have your way among us now. And we ask all this in the powerful and in the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen. Well, Andrew's going to lead us in a song of commitment. And perhaps this morning the Lord has spoken to you about a decision that you need to make. Maybe there's an area of your life that the Lord has revealed, hey, you need to do better. That's the great thing about God, is that he gives us a second chance. We always talk about that, don't we? He gives us a second chance. He loves us. He forgives us. We go on our way, and we're going to do better. So let's just commit to do that today. Whatever it is the Lord is leading us to do, let's commit to do better. And for what we're doing right, let's keep plugging away. Let's focus on that too. A lot of times we focus on the negative. We only focus on the bad stuff. But the things that we're doing right, let's continue to do it. Let's be steadfast in it. Let's not give it up. Don't grow weary. Keep doing it. So whatever the Lord has laid upon your heart to do today, whether you be at your seat here or at home, make that commitment to Him. And if you need to talk about it sometime this week, get a hold of me and we'll talk. All right? Let's stand together as Andrew leads us in this song of commitment.